Okay, this is the panel on healing with Starwolf as moderator.
Is it turned on this
time? It is
time?
Turned on,
is turned on and recording. So we are starting with various alternative health healing things,
so
and we just got started.
They
had a good idea of nutrition. Scandinavia was quite different from the continent, where you would have a much heavier presence of the then-Christian church, saying, okay, you pray this, or you do this. It was more on the spiritual level. But in Norway, no priest wanted to go there. And monks, this was a hardship thing. You just didn't want to go there. And in the inlands, in the boonies, there was nobody, so except maybe a wise woman. And there were certain things that were done spiritually as well as physically, such as the use of smiavon, which is the smith's water, which would be iron-rich, or bog water, where it was like iron, where you got bog iron out of, treating, say, anemia, or like if somebody hemorrhaged too much. There was much a very good consciousness of what worked and what was documented and what was passed down in what later became known as the grimoire, which wasn't witchy things. It was essentially a recipe book. And herbalism was quite well advanced, but you also had like spells such as oyer ought to do for something, which reminds me a lot of what Astrago will do. Like you will curse the disease and you will send it to the Blue Mountain over the seven waves and over the seven trees and over this, and there you will reside in sticks and stones until the earth falls apart. And you really lean into it. And that really cheers a patient up. Of course, there's also, you know, catching three live lice from the head hair of three separate girls and putting them in butter in some the lefse, which is like a Norwegian tortilla, and feeding to somebody that they would not know what they were eating. But, hey, they're just getting the nutrition. But the louse was a healing animal. And if you were too sick to have lice, then you were probably on death's door. You know, you just couldn't support the lice. Okay, Starwolf, back to you.
Well, actually, the cursing method that you just mentioned has something in common with the shamanic healing technique of finding the spirit of a disease in the middle world, basically jugging it into an object like a bottle or a crystal, carrying it to the edge of the world and dropping it into the world river. Basically the river that separates the land of the living from the land of the dead, where it will just keep sinking and sinking and sinking and sinking because there is no bottom to that thing, at least that nobody's ever found. Okay.
I'm very into alternative healing techniques because I've got a lot of reasons to be so. I was born with a number of birth defects, which I don't have to do a whole list here, but currently I have chronic fatigue syndrome, chronic multiple allergic syndrome, asthma, allergies, and I'm pre-diabetic. So, of course, this is going to be kind of interesting to me. Amongst the alternate healing things that I've tried, numero uno, I really like Reiki. Reiki is Japanese energy work, and there's a lot of classes around on it now, which just part of a Reiki class, you have what's called an attunement, which just opens you to a pool of divine healing energy, which can be used for all kinds of funky things, physical healing, emotional healing, and also things like keeping old cars running and things like that. There's some non-traditional methods of using Reiki, too, that are kind of fun. There are Reiki classes going on at this conference, which is pretty darn cool, I think. I also do acupressure. People get confused. They say, oh, you do acupuncture? Acupuncture is the one with the needles. I hate needles. That's not as approachable for people when you're talking approachable alternative medicine, stuff that you can go home and do yourself. To use the needles, you really need a license. But acupressure is a technique that uses the same points along your energy meridians, but you just uses pressure that you put on with your like your finger and that sort of thing. And anybody can learn how to do that. I learned how to do that from a book, and I'm going to be teaching an acupressure class for some points later on in tomorrow morning, so that you can learn how to do that yourself and clear up knee pain, drain sinuses and cut down on sinus infections, deal with headaches, physical pain, asthma, allergies, depression, forgive me, cramps, all kinds of different things acupressure is really good for, and it's easy and it's quick. Do you have a question about that?
And you can do it to yourself?
Yes, you can do it. A lot of the points are such that you can do them in a subtle way that people won't necessarily even know what you're doing unless they know about acupressure and that you know it. I used to work for the state, and I don't know how many times I would sit there at a meeting and I would be listening to somebody talk and meanwhile pressing acupressure points to help my own physical well-being.
Actually, allow me to demonstrate one.
Yes, he's doing some points right now that are good for draining the sinuses and clearing the head, which is a beautiful thing. There's another set of points, for example, that serves like a cup of coffee. It gives you a burst of energy without the caffeine drop-off you get later on, which is...
much better.
Damn spanking. And that one's really approachable.
Especially if you've been sleeping in a room that's heated electrically all night.
There's a variation on acupressure called moxibustion. We've dabbled in that, and we probably have to do more of that. We learned it at an acupressure conference. And that is a traditional Chinese?
Japanese. It's basically Japanese folk medicine that's become part of the acupuncture, acupressure corpora.
But it works really well. Basically what it involves, taking a small amount of powdered mugwort. Okay, now doesn't that sound like a metaphysical witches to go out and do this immediately thing? And you place it on one of these acupressure points along the energy meridians, and you set it on fire. And put it out so it smolders and smokes a little bit and that sort of thing. And it clears the really stuck energy, and it clears up problems. Now, I thought that sounded a little funky to me, but I had an open mind. And we were at this conference, and they needed a volunteer for moxibustion. So Starwolf volunteered to be set on fire. And they asked my permission, too, because I'm his wife, and he said, well, we must have the wife's permission. And it cleared up the cracked cartilage in your wrist. Mm-hmm. He had taken a fall at a Renaissance fair a couple of years ago, and he had wrist cartilage that had gotten cracked, and it cleared up the pain like that.
But it's interesting how universal the meridians are, because they looked at Ötzi, you know, the Iceman that they found, and some of the tattoos are not for display. They are on the meridians.
Which is pretty darn cool.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily the Chinese that invented it, but it was also known to Copper Age Alpine population.
So I like acupressure. There's a technique. I'm also, I'm doing alternate healing this weekend, I say. There's a technique called Emotional Freedom Technique, or EFT, that I'm going to teach a little class on later this conference too, which is a combination of, once again, tapping on points on energy meridians combined with affirmations, which are just statements, positive or negative statements, to clear dysfunctional beliefs and phobias and fears and the kind of stuff that's in your unconscious that causes you to sabotage yourself. Once again, that's quick and easy to learn. A lot of the information's online. You can get it for free. And it works like a charm. Speaking as a Cancer Leo cusp who has a hard time letting go of anything.
We got to hear from Lois. Lois.
You got anything to throw into this pot?
Well, I guess I'm coming at it from a more traditional standpoint of things. I spent 18 years working as a volunteer emergency medical technician. So I've got that very, traditional training, but I also tend to have a knack, if you will, for massage and helping people feel better that way, and in some ways helping people through reading tarot cards, which tends to be focused more on emotional and mental issues than the physical ones. But some people have found my readings very useful in helping them through whatever emotional problems they're having at that point. And again, as someone said, information on tarot is widely available, and any method of divination, for that matter, can be used as an adjunct to healing.
I use a pendulum a lot. That's my primary diagnostic tool when I'm giving a Reiki treatment to find where the energy is stuck.
This is interesting, the field of diagnostics, because in Norse tradition, veterinary medicine was essentially the same as human medicine, it's just different dosages. But one of the things were, for example, if there's something particularly in the torso, you put a bowl of smiavon, the Smith's water, on the site, and then you take a flatbread. You know those round flatbreads with the hole in the middle? Put that over, and then you have molten lead, and you'd pour in. This is a lot like tassiomancy, in other words, divination with coffee grounds or tea leaves, and you find the patterns of the molten lead. Best was taken from the north of church window at midnight. And see, these many Norse churches wound up having to repair north stained glass windows a lot. But once you have the lead, then you could just recycle it. And so following patterns, then you could determine what was the diagnosis, and then you could go for the treatment. Yeah. But part of also is theater, costume, okay, and also presentation.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a cursing on a disease, you would not just go mumble, 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 I curse you, go away, da 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 da.
So you're talking high church magic, as it were.
Headology.
Yeah.
Headology.
So, yeah, headology, yes. So you would go like, there's a wonderful Christian one, which is Jesus o Peter, come til Brea Brua, which is Jesus and Peter, St. Peter came to the broad bridge, and there they saw gout walking towards them. Where are you going? I am going to Johnson's farm to break his bones and suck his blood. No, you won't, says Jesus. Go back to the one who sent you, and there you shall live and abide and inflict your pain on that person. But you put serious theater in it. And the patient, of course, sucks it up. But cursing it like that. But then there's also appealing to the plants, the healing herbs. One of them is purple gentian. You call it sirth root, which means sweet root, because you're nice and nice, because purple gentian is very bitter. So you also get the herbs on your side. So you also speak to them and harvest them at certain times. You also leave some. So anyway, but theater must not be forgotten in the diagnosis, but the treatment. Like, for example, if somebody goes, oh my, let's do something about that. And so you see, I also saw a little look of concern pass over your face, even though the shoulder's just fine. But theater is so much.
It's that bedside manner, as it were.
And today they still have the uniforms, the props, and you string your stethoscope, even though you're not going to use it. Say, I am a doctor.
Exactly. Another type of thing, there are a lot of new age gadgets and things that are out there that are very helpful. I'm wearing right now, these are tachyon wristbands. There's a whole company that does tachyon products, which tachyons are particles that are faster than light, and obviously these wristbands are just sitting here. but I find that they're energetically charged, and as somebody with chronic fatigue syndrome, I find they're very helpful for helping me give me extra energy to do what must be done, as they say on Prairie Home Companion. We also have a TENS unit upstairs in our bedroom, in our room in the hotel. They're selling these little portable TENS units right now that use electrical current to relieve pain and swelling and things of that sort. This couple of weeks ago, I have sprained both my knee and ankle, and I'm finding that I'm healing faster than I anticipated because I'm using the TENS unit to help eliminate the pain and spasms on it. So I got it upstairs, and I'm going to go electroshock myself later on this evening. There's also a technique called ear candling, which I don't know. I haven't tried that. I hear good things of it, but it seems really... have you tried that?
I have a friend who does it. She's a nurse, and she's done it for years. And she said it's an old technique. It's only just coming back.
Let me put it this way. I've contemplated it, but it looks so silly to me that I don't worry that much about how things look, but it still looks silly. They put cones of material in your ear and then they set them on fire at the sun. So you're sitting there kind of like a birthday cake sideways. and the smoldering material creates a suction which draws the bad stuff out your ears. I think also you can't speak too highly of the power of positive thinking and the mind-body connection. Quite universally, the stories we tell ourselves have a strong effect on how healthy or not healthy we are and how well we cope with things. If you tell, talking about your theater type of thing, if you're going around telling yourselves, I hurt,
you'll hurt,
you're going to hurt even worse. They have found that people who have a positive, who go to the hospital, who have a positive attitude, who do positive thinking and tell themselves, tell yourself better stories. They need less pain medication. They recover faster. They are less likely to have infections. This is basically mainstream medical studies have found that. And they can be discharged sooner because they are just doing better faster. So a lot of times if you let the pain or the disease get into your head, then you've got to fight twice as much.
It almost sounds special. Would humor?
Oh yes. Laughter is the best medicine.
Mm-hmm.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away, particularly if you get a
good right hook on it.
Good spot, yeah.
That positive attitude, the attitude that you can, that you are going to heal, or if you can't get that mentally that far, that it's possible that I could heal, or it's possible that I might feel a little better. Just telling yourself those better stories so that you program your unconscious mind for health can have a massive effect on your immune system. They've done studies with college students who don't know any better and will let them attach electrodes all over their body as long as they feed them.
And some of them win the Darwin Award.
Yeah, there you go. But they've done studies where they found with college students that if they show them a positive movie, a movie about people being kind to each other, that their immune system, the white blood cell count, is higher. And when they show them a negative, you know, slasher, everybody's selfish type of movie, their white blood cell count goes down. And white blood cell count is a direct corollary of immune function.
Back in the old days, they didn't know about blood cells or whatever like that. Some of the other alternative forms of medicine, it would be, again, this is possibly theater, but it's done very, very quietly. And people try to hear what it was, but it's very quiet. It's called listening, in other words, reciting. So you'd have like a bowl of salt or a bowl of flour, and you're mumbling into that. And then that is given. So the word goes into whatever it is, the material. And frequently the material is given, for example, salt, is something that the system required anyway. But this is generally done in private and veterinary, so you're mumbling into something and giving it to the cow. A number of things, treatments, came from the Sami, who were the Lapps, the nomadic reindeer herders, such as the Ganflue, the magic fly, which is actually a little bee. But you could have a metal one, or you could have a little dried bee in a little box. And so you have the patient, or the owner of the cow, or whatever, participating in the healing, so it's like a little playlet that everybody would know. So, I am drilling. What are you drilling for? What are you drilling? You know, three times. I'm drilling for the X in X. You'd specify. And then you'd find the Ganflue. You'd, of course, a little prestidigitation is a good thing. And then you say, drop it in water or whatever, or you destroy it theatrically. And so you'd have little props that you could use. The cow wouldn't care, but the owner would. And if you're doing some of these treatments here, the theater, and then the owner will feel good towards the animal, and then the animal might perk up. Or you have beef roast for the next dinner. Lois.
Okay.
Another way.
I'm just noticing, you were talking about the movies, showing positive and negative movies.
Yeah.
Theater, getting the other people involved. this would lead me to think that maybe just having positive people around you or a positive community.
Yeah. That will definitely help you.
One of the main things that would help someone that's ill.
And is also it? Other people that are saying, oh, so-and-so is a good healer. You really ought to go to her. She knows what to do. Mm. Therapeutic hand, energy work, whatever.
Basically, positive. It's one of those positive uses of peer pressure. They find that you tend to take on the aspects of who you hang with. So if you're hanging with people who are negative all the time, you may find that's wearing on your immune system. It tends to degrade your immune system. If it's also true that if everybody is telling you, oh, it's the flu season, I'm going to get the flu, it increases your odds of getting the flu, you know?
I'd say bye-bye.
Meditation is also a very powerful tool. Meditation, visualization, they're also very powerful tools for healing.
So if I was going to visit someone who was sick,
yeah,
first I should try to get myself in a very good high spirits, a very positive attitude before I visited them.
Exactly.
So yes. That otherwise I'd be hurting them.
That you should do, you should keep it within restraints. Because there are times where if you are too cheerful at a person, they're going to feel like you're not taking their illness seriously. And that can just make them cranky, which is bad for their immune system. So you want...
But you want to be...
Because they say, oh, you just had a heart attack.
Well, I'm not just saying you're laughing at them, but I'm just saying you yourself should be in good spirits.
It's preferable to be in good spirits as long as you don't... As long as you take your cue from them and do not let, ram the good spirits down their throat.
I just
want to make sure, because I was raised to be exceedingly clear.
Okay.
My mother also over-explained, so it's genetic. I find, but meditation, they've done a lot of studies once again with that, and they found that just meditation can improve your immune system once again. Improve your pain tolerance, increase your body's ability to heal, and it doesn't have to be like monster meditation either. People talk about, oh, I will give away all my goods and go and live in an ashram and wear nothing but white. No, it doesn't. Which, that's nice. But it also, they've done studies and they found that you can get some of the benefits from meditation from periods of as little to 3 to 5 minutes, you know? And that doesn't mean 3 to 5 minutes and you're doing it every 20 minutes, you're spending five meditating. Even little smidges of meditation can improve your overall health, which is a pretty groovy thing because while a lot of us have a hard time working a major practice into our lives, at least until we've seen that it's going to have benefit for us, most of us can find times to do little things.
Yes.
In answer to exactly what you're talking about, people not having time or feeling that they have time, I've often asked people if they have do they take a shower in the morning? And what are they thinking about and what are they doing while they're showering? Because they can make that the meditation time. Can make that the connection.
Okay. One of the classic meditations is using the shower as I like to think of it as a shower of light that goes around you but also through you and washes away anything that's ill or dysfunctional or not to my best and highest good, and you can picture it. If you're going to do that, it's a grand idea to set the intention as you do so that's all going to be washed away down to the sea, and the sea is going to is big and powerful. It's going to recycle it into something better for the higher good of all concerned. Because if you're giving the earth your refuse, you might as well give the earth also a little help in changing it into something useful.
There's in Scandinavia, there's where you don't have sun for a lot of time. You have SADD, you know, the sun lag. But a lot of people, there's a verb for ogruble, where you're just working on just trying to put the sun inside yourself.
Lois?
Yeah, I just want to point out that all of this healing is a spectrum. It's not a case of alternative medicine to the exclusion of tradition, let's call it traditional medicine, but they can work together. If you let's say, wind up with a broken bone with the end sticking out your skin, yeah, all right, it would be nice to be able to wave your hands and have the bone go back in place and the skin knit skin heal and the bones knit and everything works. But there are times, you got to call for an ambulance.
Call the EMTs.
Yeah, call the EMTs, get it set, get it treated. But the alternative healing can still come into effect because your attitude towards the EMTs, towards the doctors, towards the injury, that's all going to have an effect.
Well, one of the things we were taught when both Kathy and I were being taught Reiki was you don't do Reiki on a broken bone until it's been properly set.
Because you can heal the bone partially, and then they have to re-break it to align it up. It's like just the thought of... I like to think of it in terms of it's not and or. It's kind of like they say, I'll get all biblical on you for a minute here. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's. So when mainstream medicine is the right thing to do, you use that. When alternative medicine is the right thing to do, you do that. And when both is the right thing to do, you do that. Personally, as a person who's got a lot of health challenges, I like to go in there with everything I got. All them guns blazing. Because
Big toolbox.
Mm-hmm. Because that's how I roll.
But even today, you see healing things. For example, in the newspapers, you see prayer to St. Jude. Mm-hmm. And after something has been accomplished or something has been healed, mm-hmm. this is a promise. And so you see that. You see in some of the puj, in the Hindu customs, mm-hmm. where the god, usually Ganesha, remover of obstacles. And if an obstacle is a health issue, then you do a puj, and that the god would take the essence of, then the food itself is shared about.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many ways of involving the supernatural. Star Wolf.
Actually, you just mentioned what I was going to talk about. So,
ooh, you must be psychic.
Not necessary. Okay. Also, we're talking. We're trying to talk accessibility here. A lot of times, especially when dealing with traditional medicine, and by traditional I mean Western
mainstream
medicine. Trying to bring alternative healing in takes work because the doctors themselves don't like the idea. I mean, they're still looking skeptically at chiropractors who've been recognized health practitioners for, 200 years now?
But it is interesting that a lot more alternative things are becoming more mainstream. Reiki, for example, is moving into hospitals.
Our local veterinarian has a Reiki practitioner for animals, also acupressure and acupuncture.
Mm-hmm. Meditation is now getting established in mainstream medicine as a good, useful alternative.
And also in hospitals with the clergy, now you're finding more and more a pagan, or you could call on an imam or whatever. You have much more choice. And then you say get religion according to that, but again, you'd be calling on the healing supernatural power to come down, and if the patient is participating.
A little while ago, my wife went in for some surgery, and we asked the physician who was going to perform the surgery to, if we could say a prayer before with her, if she would pray with us. And she was pleasantly surprised, and I got the impression that this is highly unusual for people to ask the doctor to pray with them. And maybe that's one of the things we should recognize as doctors are people too, and would probably be very open to a lot of, at least the more mainstream ideas of at least prayer to whatever.
Mm-hmm. But pray
just,
not only.
Sit together and...
And they've done studies on that too. Once again, prayer, they found that people are being prayed for. Once again, tend to have less pain, need less pain medication, heal faster, have less complications, get out of the hospital faster.
But also,
even if they don't know they're being prayed for,
to guide the surgeon's hands,
mm-hmm.
so that the surgeon finds the problem and is able to deal, and to support the surgeon.
Right. That was the whole.
Yes. Yeah.
And the surgeon was very happy with this, and it was surprising.
Yeah.
Yes.
Being very clear in how you phrase when you said have that the surgeon find the real problem and be able to address it. I was in a circle many, many years ago with a high priestess who told the story of a circle she had been in years before. And she said the whole circle did this big, huge working to make sure that they didn't find cancer in this woman.
Ooh.
And they didn't.
Oh.
And it was there.
Yeesh.
Yeah, be careful.
And so be very clear. I like the way you phrased that, because you made it clear that you were to find what was the problem and to be able to work with it.
It's also worthy of note when you're doing affirmations and various other type of things that use words. The unconscious mind holds a good share of the metaphysical, it holds the mind-body connection and also a good share of the metaphysical ability. Anything you haven't trained, okay? Anything you haven't consciously started to work with. And the unconscious mind, for some reason, it has a great deal of power and is like a trusting three-year-old. It believes everything you tell it. But it does not, for some reason, which I do not know the answer to, it does not hear the words like no or not. So if you're affirming, I have no pain, a lot of times it will hear, I have pain. So you want to say, I feel good. I don't need medication. It'll hear, I do need medication. So you want, once again, that's why it's important when you're using, whether it's affirmations or spells or anything else that uses words, you want to phrase things positively, because otherwise your unconscious mind may not hear you correctly. And it may work really powerfully to do what it thinks you want.
And there's so many different ways, and it's like tools and toolbox. You've got a screwdriver, you've got a saw, et cetera, et cetera. Now, at many of the conventions through the years, I've led something called Norse working, which is like energy passing around, but addressing exactly the problem that the customer, as it were, knows where the problem is, so as the energy comes in, that person works too. And it seems that, but this one here, the Norse working, seems to be unusually good at getting people pregnant.
I'll remember not to be in one of those circles.
Well, you're not going to, you don't have to worry. Kathy might.
No, I'm sorry, I don't have to worry about that anymore either.
Ah.
Yes, Pam.
Yeah, well, maybe next year we'll do one. Maybe next year we'll do one at the next year's
convention.
Because we have much better a function space, and we'll be able to do it where it'll be more private.
Where is it next?
It's going to be this same weekend, second weekend in November. It's going to be held in Cromwell, Connecticut, at a very nice hotel. And if you come see me when I have my cell phone, I can show you pictures of the site.
Yes.
Crown Plaza.
The one that had the chlorine gas leak earlier this week.
Yes.
Oh, that I didn't hear about.
Yeah, but it has an indoor swimming pool, jacuzzi, workout room. Yes.
It's a beautiful
hotel. They love us, and we're getting very good rates. And it's near a railroad station, transportation, and also they have a free hotel courtesy shuttle.
Yes.
Free parking. Inexpensive food within almost walking distance. We're going to have again our serious consuite, but yes. So what? Okay, I will write down the Chippecon. I want to do a Norse working circle next year. And so save up your sicknesses.
No, if you can get
that's why you have work. You cannot be sick until next year.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you could also work remotely for somebody, but you always get permission.
Oh yeah, that's one of the things. Ethically, you need to have permit if you're going to do any healing work for somebody. You need to have their permission. And I've seen people go the other way. Oh well, I know better and that sort of thing. And no, you don't.
Yes.
The people who say that, you know, there are times when you just can't get the permission from the person. And what they do is the working, and they put it there for the person if the person chooses to take it. And that's their way of working with permission.
I've got a couple of things on that. When we were trained on Reiki, one of the things we were taught is that you cannot, it's not ethical to do it without permission, and karma will come and get you. But there are certain exceptions. One, if the person is unconscious, it's okay at that point. Two, if the person is at risk of dying, and if they're conscious enough to say, no, leave me the heck alone, you know, you still have to respect that, you know. It's their way, it's their time.
Also in utero, with the mother's permission.
And if it is a child, you can have the parents' permission. You know, that's okay too. Unless the child says, no, 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 in which case you have to really think about it. But one other method that I've run across, I've done a variation of your method with Reiki, with somebody that would just not consciously be comfortable with talking about this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I have done Reiki where I've not done Reiki on that person, but I've surrounded them with a cloud of Reiki energy that if they need it, they can access it.
We've been doing a lot of this post the hurricane.
Yeah.
Sending this down and saying, we don't know who down there is receiving this or receiving.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Amenable to receiving it. Mm-hmm. But we're giving it.
Thank you.
And therefore...
she needed it.
I like that. The one
and we're doing it, I just want to put this in too, mm-hmm. we're doing it not just for the human people.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for the land whites, we've been doing it for the animals, we've been doing it for the humans. Yeah.
Well, that's good. So, one other method I've run across that seems legitimate for working with healing, if you've got somebody that for some reason you do not feel that you can ask them, you know, on the material plane type of thing, I have a friend who is a lovely man inside, but outside he is the curmudgeon's curmudgeon. He is very cranky and crusty and that sort of thing, and he's not really into this kind of stuff. And he's the kind of guy that basically, when he thought somebody was laughing at him one point, and they weren't, they just said something funny, but they weren't laughing at him, he went outside and he put $400 worth of damage on his car's fender with his fists. Yeah. And he was getting worse, okay? And that's a problem. That's not just, oh, I don't want you near me. It's you're my friend and you're self-destructing in front of me. So I thought, okay, my Reiki teacher taught me if there was some reason that you cannot ask on the physical plane for conscious permission, it is okay to ask their higher self. And I thought, oh, that's overly convenient. That's a crock, you know. That's an excuse. Yeah. But I thought, well, I'm worried about this guy. So I'm going to try this. So I got myself a quiet place, and I sat down, and I went to do a visualization. I did a meditation, and I visualized connecting up with his higher self. And I asked his higher self, would you mind if I did some Reiki to help you, you know, with all the catastrophes in your life? And his higher self looked at me, and then he went, no! And I went, I went right out of transmission. And I thought, okay. So I was, and first of all, that said to me, okay, this is not just the slam dunk I thought it was. So what I did thereafter is every couple of weeks, I would go and do the meditation again, and just to check in, and I'd get the same response, and I, okay, no Reiki. And then after a couple of months, I did the meditation again, and I asked, and his higher self looked at me and kind of went, well, if you must, which I thought upon as kind of a glowing yes. You know the person. So I did the Reiki at that point, and things seemed to smooth out a little bit for him. He leveled out a little bit more. He got a little bit more better control on things. And
his driving was not so crazy.
Why, yes indeed, because that's one of the things I was worried about.
Much.
Yeah, yeah. You can, if there are reasons you can't ask somebody consciously for whatever reason, you got somebody who's perhaps a really fervent Roman Catholic, and to...
Just phrase it right.
Yeah, exactly. I've also been known to ask people, do you mind if I send you some good energy?
And you can also maybe find, if you knew somebody personally who wasn't devout Catholic, you mm-hmm. can find some nuns who do Reiki, and you can mention which orders they're from, mm-hmm. and that can sometimes go, oh, it's within the scope of what they understand.
And that's a good thing, although I find a lot of times if they're desperate enough for a Reiki and they're not asking, a lot of times they're in crisis enough that they have a hard time dealing with something outside of their frame of reference. So there are a number of ways of doing this that are ethical. I'm a real bug on ethics and metaphysics. I'm kind of, as they say in the Pirates of Penzance, the slave of duty. But there are ways of getting around things without being unethical.
It's interesting, though, many years ago, when these two had just sort of attained their mastery, I had an ankle that was a little bum, and it's interesting. And Kathy did some Reiki, and then Star Wolf. And it was entirely different flavors. You could feel the energy move in different ways. So just as you have, like, MDs who are like pediatricians or internal or cardiac or whatever, you also will have specialties in just the way the energy flows in some of the energy mm-hmm. working.
just to follow up on that, as I've said, I've been able to help various people with things like, you know, headaches or muscle aches. But my housemate, my energy just will not work for her. It's, you know, she can feel it there, but it's just not making a connection.
Round peg, square hole.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's more that I have found that Reiki can do anything, but I find there are some people that it doesn't work the way I would expect it to work based on other experiences. And I find usually when I get that situation, that's somebody that's got what I call good and proper reasons why they need to hold on to that illness or that injury. And for me, good and proper reasons is code for I really don't approve of this or agree, but it's your life, not my life.
Or sometimes people will hold, they'll hold on to the illness that says, okay, that'll make people take care of me. That'll make give me attention. I crave attention.
And that's good and proper reasons. If you've got somebody who the only time their family comes to take care of them or see them is when they're sick, you may find them getting sick more. They're not consciously choosing it, but their body is trying to do what's in their best interest.
You find a lot of these people are called hypochondriacs, but if you do some energy healing or you do the theater and say that this will last you for 6 months and it will be dangerous, to do this again before 6 months passes. You know, you can buy yourself some time.
Well, there's also the thing, like another good and proper reason, some people are loving and caring and nurturing to a fault, and they are so busy taking care of other people, they never take care of themselves. I find a lot of these people develop health problems because it's their body and their unconscious mind's way of desperately trying to say, you need to put... Or maybe not stop, but you need to put yourself on your own list, is the way I like to think of it. So I'll run across I run across people all the time where they are so busy, either they're so busy just doing stuff or they're so busy taking care of other people that they never take care of themselves, and that's the time you need to do some energy work first, and then you need to talk about balance, you know? Mm-hmm. And how if you don't nurture yourself, you burn out. And so if you do give yourself some attention and energy and time and balance your needs with the needs of others, you will be in better shape to help others, and that's a win-win situation.
And how to trickle charge yourself, there's various ways, and also storing energy.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wolf knows that.
Yes.
Actually, going back a little bit, combining a couple things, you were talking about whispering into the flower,
yeah,
the salt.
That's called listening.
And you were talking about ethics. What about if you're making a meal for somebody who's sick? I almost say it's like blessing the meal to give to them.
That would be a valid system.
Is that,
yeah,
would you need permission in order to do that? Or
frequently that's arranged ahead of time.
Oddly enough, I find, okay, maybe it is totally hypocritical of me, but I find I don't necessarily need permission to pray for someone, I guess because they can take it or not. But I do need permission to do energy work for them, so that praying to bless their meal, non-specifically, I think that would be okay without having to get explicit permission.
Because the patient has the choice of taking the meal or not.
But you can also, for example, with Reiki, as one example, because it's what I do. You can make a meal and then put your hands over it and run Reiki into the meal. You can run Reiki into your medications or your vitamins or your herbs that you're taking to help them work better. You can put Reiki into water, for heaven's sakes.
Right. Well, I was just thinking the long, long time ago in one of these conferences, someone mentioned the difference between a spell and a prayer. A prayer, you're asking something else higher mm-hmm. up, and a greater wisdom decides what to do with mm-hmm. it, where a spell or the Reiki... You're deciding it yourself exactly where that's going to go, and you have to depend on your own judgment.
It's a good point.
Mm. And maybe that's, you know, why you say it's all right to pray, because...
And I find also with spells, both spells and to certain prayers, I like to add in what I think of as a higher purpose statement. Mm-hmm. So I tend to end those things with, this or something better for the highest good of all concerned. Or something to that effect, so that if I'm asking for something that is going to screw things up, the powers that be are going to say, well, thanks for playing. but, you know, because I always like to keep in mind that the universe is bigger than I am and may have ideas I haven't even thought of and may see things from its perspective that I really can't see from where I'm at.
And some of the energy work, you also involve the customer or the patient. Say, work with me, let's mesh, so that they are doing their own healing. And then you say, okay, now what you can do is, like, you could link your hands and remember back to this time and bring the energy up for yourself. And you take it from below and up from above and just put that energy, even just a little bit, into the problem so that they can... You see, you're also teaching. And, for example, if I were working with a Baptist Bible thumper, I say, oh, hey, you would call on the appropriate angels or archangels and the power of healing and say, okay, who is it that was revived?
Lazarus.
Lazarus, or various other healing things, modalities. Work with the person's religion and faith. Put in an idiom that that person understands so that they can also self-treat. And who knows, maybe in another 5 years they may become Reiki masters or whatever. Reiki is only one form of, but there's universal types of energy working. Mm-hmm. You find therapeutic tongue or therapeutic hand. Laying the hand of the king's hand. There are many mm-hmm. types of things.
Yep.
Pass it down the line.
Well, now, that's, once again, also a valid concept. Also appealing to the various sub-deities. You mentioned Lazarus. Well, Lazarus in the Afro-Caribbean mindset is also Babalu Oye, who's usually depicted on crutches. He's a healing deity. So it all interlinks. And it's amazing what you can do with a little bit of cornmeal and a bottle of rum.
I got a good idea of what I can do with that bottle of rum.
Yes, I do.
put it in the healer so it is not wasted.
Yes.
May I throw one quick up?
Yeah, because we need to wrap up. We've got about 4 minutes left.
Reiki, there are classes out there that you can take. Indeed, I believe tonight they're doing, they've got a sign-up list for free different kinds of healing if you want to see what it's like for yourself, to see if you like that yourself. What I'd recommend if you want acupressure, I'm teaching a class, but there's a book called Acupressure Potent Points by Michael Reed Gosch, G-A-C-H, which is a Klingon name if I ever heard one. And it's a home first aid manual of acupressure points, and it is brilliant for learning when you know nothing about acupressure. That's how I started, and that's a beautiful thing. And there's a lot of, for the emotional freedom technique, all you do is search online emotional freedom technique or EFT, and there are a lot of places that have free manuals that will teach you how to do it from a get-go if you don't want to go to class. So there's a lot of things out there that you can actually go out there right now and go home with something practical that you can use yourself.
Also, quickly, herbal healing, knowing what's out there growing in the field. So, for example, you get a gash. Okay, plantain, you know, the herb with the parallel veins, and you know those thaws that you used to snap when you were a kid? Crumple it up and smear it on the abrasion. Learn just quickie things that you can do for just healing in the field.
There's one thing with herbalism, though, a couple things you got to watch out for, though.
Your dosages.
One, your dosages. Two, keeping in mind that because it's natural does not automatically mean it's harmless or has no side effects. Because there are some people who think, it's herbal, it must be okay. Well, not necessarily. And three, be aware that certain herbs interact poorly with certain mainstream medications. So
yeah, that's a lot of the stuff that's taken internally, but if I'm thinking topical application, just that one herb is very useful.
You just need to know, you, with that one, you need to know what you're doing.
Okay.
If you don't,
okay, we got hand
before. Make sure you absolutely are sure on the herb you're picking.
Mm-hmm. And ask its permission.
I had a well, not just that. Just make sure you got the right one. I had a I was a medical officer at a camp, and a survival hike went out, and they didn't.
Oops.
No one died, but the result was like seasickness. You didn't die, but you damn well wish you could.
Mm. That's sometimes a good lesson too.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
it was
probably something ingested.
Yeah, it was something ingested. They thought it was edible.
But you could get that one with rub on too. We need
okay.
to.
Okay. You just need to basically know what you're doing. You also need to keep both an open mind and a healthy skepticism when you are dealing with both alternative medicine and mainstream medicine. And on that, I am going to close unless somebody has something you want to add at the last minute.
Trust your instincts, but keep your brain working.
And on that, I hit the red button.